Hi there, Dr. Gary here on the road. We are dental practice brokers nationwide. We sell dental practices. I was a dentist for 25 years and now doing the dental practice brokerage for 14 years. So today's topic is, who has the final say or evaluation of the value of a dental practice sale price? Let's get into that. Before doing so, as you know, we are now in 10 employees. We have just entered our 22nd state. We're excited. And we're available to you 363 days a year. We take off Christmas and Easter. So please give us a call anytime. We're open East Coast, 8 a.m. till 9 p.m. East Coast. Even if you want to chat, want a complimentary evaluation, whatever you want, just call us. All right? All the information you're about to hear is for entertainment purposes only. It's not legal information. Now, our phone number is 201-663-0935. And our email contact website, dentalpracticeguide.com or nationwidedentalpracticebrokers.com. Just get in touch with us. So, before we get into today's topic, we want you to know also that if you're thinking about selling to a DSO, we can work closely with you because we know who the best ones are. Often they will pay our commission, so generally there is no commission to the seller. And we can help you choose the best ones. We get the same commission from any DSO. We charge them all the same. We don't work for anybody. So it's for your benefit, not ours. It's your benefit. Who's the best ones for you? Now, as far as if you do work with us, in addition, we will reimburse on a DSO, big DSO deal, we will reimburse your legal fees upon successful closing. So call us. We'll give you all the details on that. Okay? But we're excited to work with you. So who has that final word, the final valuation? Before I get into that, the value of a dental practice is what the buyer is willing to pay, what the bank is willing to finance, and what the seller is willing to let it go for. So it is amicable negotiation. I have sold some practices that are above and beyond bank valuations. I have done that on occasion. They were special practices. I have sold practices, not to the DSOs, but to private individuals at the 90th percentile. It doesn't happen that often. But certain sellers feel they have an exceptional office, exceptional equipment, unbelievable staff, great location, and still, even at 90%, it's cost less than it would if you were to rebuild it. Again, any time you use the words, well, what would it cost to rebuild? Well, somebody's going to rebuild. They're going to build exactly where they want and exactly the type of equipment they want. Example, some people don't like wood cabinets. I know everybody else does, but some don't like it. Some like a clean, white, or off-color Formica glass and steel. They don't like wood cabinets. And you've got to respect that. You can have the most beautiful wood cabinets. They don't like it. If they're going to build it, they're going to build it the way they want to build it. I've said this many times. And I've heard Millennium say, or a lot of young doctors say, if the bank's going to finance the whole thing, I'm going to get it the way I want it. Even if that is hundreds of thousands, sometimes a lot of money to build a practice. It's hundreds of thousands of dollars to build it from scratch, and you have no patience. But anyway, who makes this final determination? You know, it's going to be, if you conventional financing, if it's a DSO, they're going to create they're always going to pay over the gross usually. But they have more, they know they're going to take the practice to the next level, and they're requiring you to stay on 3 to 5 years, and they want your accounts receivable, and they hold back a portion of the money, 10, 20, 30, 35%. So there's different dynamics there with the DSO, why they'll pay more than a GP. But let's stick with the GP, general practice or specialty selling and the standard bank financing. What happens in those situations, you're going to provide, the seller's going to set a number that they're comfortable with. It may or not be based on cash flow. It's simply the number they want. And you've got to respect that, because up in Canada, they're paying up to 125% of 1 year's gross for a standard sale. Why is it works in Canada and it won't work in the United States? Well, Canada has a different situation there. There's also a shortage. There's not that many dental practices for sale. California, they're at 85% sometimes for a standard sale. So different regions have different numbers, but you have got to go with the region your bank's located and what they're going to finance. So if the bank comes up to your standard 75, 80, 82%, 83%, that's the risk level they're willing to take. Consequently, they tell this to the buyer. This is the risk we're taking. This is the amount of risk that we're willing to accept on this deal. And the buyer is often going to say, well, look, if that's the only risk the bank's going to take, I'm not going to risk anymore, especially since the bank's going to usually finance it 100%. And the buyer generally doesn't have the money for 100% sale or 100% of what the sale price is. Most buyers don't have it. They are dependent on the bank. So consequently, the buyer is going to come back to the seller and say, look, I can only pay what the bank's going to give me. Seller can say, my practice is worth more than that. And I understand what the seller is saying because they put their whole life into it. They may have just bought a CAT scan at $80,000 or more. And, they're not getting the full benefit of it. They may have implants that they just started and paid $50,000 for a whole, because to get the discounts, you got to go on this buying program. And they may have $50,000 worth of implants they haven't used. And they say, well, that's a lot of stock I'm giving away. Well, in situations like that, before you put the practice on the market, take all the implant stock out of there. Just take it out. And if anybody asks, say it's not included with the sale, it's not here. So, you're only selling what's there. We'll make up an equipment list and so forth. And we're only selling what's on the equipment list. That's the only thing included. If you feel that strongly about it, remove it before the sale. So it doesn't, it's just like selling a house. The chandelier is not for sale, don't even display it. Remove it and put it in a distant location. But getting back to it, it's the bank will often dictate to the buyer, since they're providing the money, the bank will dictate to the buyer how much they're willing to pay and how much they're willing to lend. And that's where we are in this situation. That may come up occasionally. The bank has the ultimate decision. Again, the buyer may feel it's worth more than the bank's willing to finance. Well, buyer can pay out of pocket, although the bank may want to know about that, because if you're paying on out of pocket on a different kind of loan, that will affect your cash flow, and the bank wants to know that. So there's a lot of moving parts here. But is a practice worth 10-15% more, as quoted by one of the attorneys, general attorneys I know? He says, hey, whatever you pay, you're buying a business entity and you're going to generate money. You're going to pay that money and you can generate enough money to pay that note off. So sometimes it's worth paying more than the value price. I'm not advising you pay it, but I'm just saying sometimes it may be worth more than that. Or we just recently had a situation where a doctor wanted to be in that community. And they're going to buy a specialty practice, which is grossing low amount of money. It's a GP. They said, hey, I'll buy the specialty practice. I don't care. Because their specialty was grossing under 200. They said for the location, for the build out, for the equipment, for the plumbing, the electricity, no downtime. Remember, you build a practice, it's 6 months to a year to build it, right? And you're not producing any money and you're paying money rent out. This GP is buying a specialty practice under $200,000. I think it's under $150,000. He says it's worth it to him. He doesn't know what we'll do with those specialty patients. He may get the doctor to work for him and finish them up. He may sell them off to another specialist. There's a couple different things he could do. But to him, no downtime, equipment is in, The office is working, the plumbing is in, the staff is there, everything works, doesn't need any new special permits. So to this bar, he's gonna just grab it and renovate it. But getting back to valuation, the final word is generally what the bank's willing to finance. And the buyer then takes that information and says, that's all I'm willing to pay. Anything beyond that is going to become amicable resolution of what the value is. So let's talk about it. But that's where we are with this. Okay? Thank you. Now listen, remember, if you're going to... remember to listen, because we get these notes all the time that are... periodic messages that people want to know when is the new practice coming about. And what we try to do is, if you hit the subscribe button, you'll know when that new practice is coming out, because we hit our profile list, goes out, our practice profile list on Excel sheet shows you just what we are going to be, what the new practices are. So you'll get some idea from us when the next practice list is going to be sent out. Also, on the YouTube, I'll sometimes announce what new states we just went to. So you get on the YouTube video, you'll get it. So a variety of different places. So hit the subscribe button. Plus, we have all this incredible information to give you. You know, we now have, I think it's 421 YouTube videos on this. All right, see you around, gang. Bye now.